welcome to another episode of MSDN Developer Radio, Azure Edition. My name is Peter Lodotti, and I'm one of your co-hosts, along with my fellow co-host, Brian Hitney, who's joining us today from lovely North Carolina.
Thanks, Peter. You say that so, you know, sarcastically. I'm doubting your sincerity with that, but...
Well, because I know you're going to come back with me not being from not-so-lovely New Jersey.
Yes, I would never do that. But yeah, hi, everybody. So this is another episode of Dev Radio, and Peter and I are evangelists here on the developer and platform evangelism team on the East Coast. We focus a lot on cloud computing and Windows Azure specifically. Last episode, we had Brady Gaster, who's a Windows Azure technical evangelist, focusing on Windows Azure websites. Wow, that's a mouthful of a title. But we weren't able to get to all the questions that we had last episode, so we wanted to continue in this episode, part two, if you will, with Brady, talking about some of these technical details and getting some of those questions answered. So, Brady, how you doing? Thanks for coming back and staying with us.
No problem.
All right. So one of the things that we had at least earmarked as a topic, you had mentioned something about process isolation and how the websites work a little bit, and one of the questions that I'm asked a lot when I start doing an overview of the different things you could do in Windows Azure is how is Windows Azure websites different from, say, shared hosting, and then that's where people start talking about process isolation a little bit. So could you share a little bit about that with us?
Sure, I can do that. Again, I'm definitely not one of the engineers, but I can tell you what they've told me. One of the important things to remember is that when you deploy a website or when you create a new website that's running in Windows Azure websites, they have a bank of machines and a couple of different data centers. And those machines are already reserved. Those, as we call them, instances are already reserved specifically for the Windows Azure website framework. And like we talked about in the last episode, that's actually a layer on top of Windows Azure Cloud Services. So what they do is they've got all these machines that are already kind of out there for you to use. Whenever you deploy your website, you would pick from shared or reserved or free shared reserved, free and shared or both shared. Similar to normal web hosting, a shared environment is going to kind of imply that your websites are going to be on an instance that other customers' sites are on as well. What the team's done to kind of mitigate any problem where your site might affect the performance of another site, or more importantly, vice versa, is that even though the sites run in full trust, which you're not going to find in a lot of hosting situations, the sites are going to run in elevated trust on Windows Azure, but that elevated trust is in a sandbox that they've sort of walled off. One vendor that I know that builds amazing reporting controls, they tried to run a sample app to show how to use their controls in Windows Azure websites, and they were getting a memory error. So they reported it to me, I got their code, I sent it over to the team, and one of the things that the team noted is that certain GDI hooks, if you're familiar with that, it's sort of the graphic stuff in .NET, they block that because they know that they could theoretically be used nefariously. So they block those. So what they did is they actually communicated pretty low level with that control vendor to find out how those calls work, and I think that there's been sort of a compromise made wherein some of the code for the controls are being changed to use fewer of those hooks, and the Windows Azure Websites team identified we should probably open up some of these areas because we went highly, highly, highly secure and we're backing off a piece at a time. Whereas in a normal hosting environment or a non-cloud hosting environment, it's just traditional IIS version X, depending on how up to par your hosting partner is. So that's probably one of the major differences, that you're going to have a higher level of trust because they've developed those websites and those services in such a way that you can't stomp on one another. Brian, you mentioned earlier learning the path to your website on the hard drive. How does that prevent you from CDing higher in the folder tree than your site is so that you can get into somebody else's site? They prevent that. So things like that are actually monitored and managed by the Windows Azure Websites team so that you can't do things like that. So your site is safe from other sites, even if you're running in shared mode and not running in reserve mode. So,
hey, Brady, welcome back again this week. So I just one question. Brian and I were talking. We just noticed you're wearing the same clothes you wore last week. We hope you went home and showered in between or something, right?
I did indeed. I did indeed. It's just chilly here, so I just threw on the same shirt. It's one of my favorite shirts. You'll probably see me wear it frequently on webcams. So yeah,
it would have nothing to do with recording a bunch of shows in a row at one time.
Probably doesn't have much to do with that, because this is actually a different week and we're recording a second show, right?
Exactly. So, you know, you brought up a lot of good points there about being in this multi-tenant environment. Mm-hmm. And one thing is, if I'm someone who's running a website, when I go into the portal, how do I know if I'm hitting up against any of these boundaries? Like, you know, maybe my site is not performing the way it is. You know, what type of metrics do we provide in that portal to let a user know?
Well, there's actually, if you were to go into the Windows Azure portal, which I could do right now if you'd like to see it, one of the things that you'll see is when you click on your website, you'll have like a navigation bar down the left-hand side so that you can see your website, your cloud services, your databases, and everything else under the sun. When you click on one of those sites, the very first thing that you're going to see is a dashboard that shows kind of a running chart of like requests that came in, bandwidth going out, everything, CPU utilization, everything. As you know, the way you pay for your cloud services in any cloud provider is you pay for what you use. So you pay for your compute cycles, or you pay for how much hard drive space you had and whatever else. These charts give you a good way to see kind of where you are in your spending cycle. So if you are using the free option, which is just as many Windows Azure websites as you can throw at the server, you are pretty much good to go until you exceed, you know, your memory allocation, which is pretty high. So if you want to kind of have a view of that, you can go and you can watch that chart and kind of see what your bandwidth utilization has been like over the last 7 hours, 24 hours, or a month. So you can actually see kind of what you're ticking along at. And that's pretty good. You can actually pick additional performance counters that you can look at too. So you can see ACTP errors, how many have happened in the last however many hours. So you do have all that capability right there inside the portal. So
as I'm looking at this, and we might show some of these screenshots and whatnot as we go further, but for example, I'm on my Windows Azure website, and I can see the amount of CPU time, and I can see it has some text in there, for example, that it resets in, say, 5 hours or 6 hours, and it shows me a percentage. So how is that measure, like in terms of the pricing and what you pay for with the traditional PaaS or VM model, you pay for an hour, whether you use a CPU or not. You know, if you have 0% usage of that CPU or 100%, you still pay your 2, 12, 24 cents per hour, whatever, depending on the size of your VM. Mm-hmm. Is this the same model because it's showing utilization, or is it different?
It's a similar model to the traditional cloud services, the work roles and the web roles and all that stuff. The major variance between the existing infrastructural components, like I said, the cloud services stuff, and the Windows Azure websites is the default tier is free. So if you were to go out and create your own Azure account today, you'll have 90 days to use things like VMs, cloud services, storage, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The difference between those services and Windows Azure websites is you'll have Windows Azure websites free for a year. So if you were to sign up today and your 90 days expire, you're going to have 9 more months that you can tinker with 10 free sites. So that's one benefit there. In terms of the way we price the Windows Azure website stuff differently than we do some of the other services, the shared model will allow you to spend, I think it's 2 cents an hour? Yeah, 2 cents an hour per site per instance. So if you have one site running on two shared instances, you'll spend 4 cents an hour. if you were to flip all that over to reserve mode, you can have up to 100 sites and you'll only pay the one fee. So let's say you have 6 sites and each site is running in one instance and your 6 sites cost you 2 cents per site, you're going to get to 12 cents per hour with 6 sites. That 12 cents an hour is what you're going to spend over in the reserved period. And if you go up to 100 sites, you don't add cost for each one of those sites above and beyond the 7th one that you do. And it's not that we go with 6 as the hard line number. It's just that's where the price kind of equals out for you to go from shared to reserved mode. So we actually charge you by site until you go to reserved, and once you're in reserved, you just pay for your cores. So if you have a machine that's a small reserved instance that's got one core, you're going to spend 12 cents an hour per core. If you were to go to large, that'll be 48 cents an hour because the large has four cores. So
when you go to a reserved instance, mm-hmm. it sounds more like the traditional cloud service model where you're actually saying, look, here's a VM that's going to be dedicated to my site or sites, plural, mm-hmm. and I pay by the hour at that prevailing rate. But when I'm not there, let's say I'm in the free version or the shared version, what's sort of been a little confusing to me is how many VMs is my site actually running on? Is it just one? And if not, is there an SLA, like, or is there some sort of auto scaling that Azure's doing until I actually do step up to a reserved instance?
Gotcha. There is no auto scaling. There's auto scaling for Windows Azure Cloud Services, and I believe that also applies to Windows Azure websites. So if you get to a certain threshold, you can automatically scale up if you want to. But you're right. Out of the gate, if you were to create a website right now in the portal, they're going to put that website onto one shared instance. If at any point you want to scale that site out, you can basically slide the slider from 1 to 2 to 3. So you could run your website load balanced across 3 instances. One of the things that the Windows Azure Websites team kind of beats into my head at every Scrum meeting is they say, when you're talking to people about scaling and running in a load balanced environment rather than on the one box, make it very, very clear that you're not scaling to prevent your site from going down. Because if they start to notice a problem in your site or on the instance where your site is running, they'll dynamically move that off to another instance that isn't having any problems. So your site's managed and maintained by that service. If it starts having problems, they're just going to move it. You have to scale that yourself. So you would have to kind of go, okay, I want to have 2 sites so that I'm absolutely confident that my site will continue to perform well. You would scale out to 2 or to 3 sites. Now, that's true not only for shared, but for reserved. So if you go ahead and you port all your sites over to a reserved instance and then you want to get more performance out of that, you can have 2 reserved instances or 3. It doesn't matter. So you can go up from there.
So let me make sure I understand this. So if I'm in, let's say, the free or the shared mode, mm-hmm. and I deploy my site, it's not auto-scaling. It's just running in one VM.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm protected if someone else's site is hammering the box. Then Azure's going to automatically move my app to another VM so it's not getting hammered by the other app. But if my app itself starts hammering the service, it's only going to go up to a limit. At that point, that's when I have to decide that I need to scale my own app and request more than one instance, right? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. And you don't necessarily request an instance. In the portal, you would literally slide a slider, and your site becomes a scaled site. And you can do that in shared or reserved mode. Now, your comment about if I see that site A is pounding the server on which my site is running, and I don't, you know, the team doesn't want my site to go down, I don't think they'll actually move your site unless there is a problem that they note with an instance. So if they start to see that there's a CPU spike that they don't understand, sites will be moved off to other instances. If the instance crashes, sites will be moved to other instances. And the way they can do that is your content, like all your files, your HTML files, your image files, and all that good stuff, those aren't actually stored in a replicated fashion so that if you have 3 instances, you have 3 copies of your files. They're actually stored in Windows Azure Blob Storage. And the way the service works, those files are basically pulled out and displayed for the user whenever they're requested. So the files don't live in 3 different places. They live in Blob Storage, and the site pulls them out of Blob Storage and then, you know, runs them. So just want to make that point very clear, because you don't actually have to move your files. So when you do a deployment, they just go to Blob Storage and they're out of Blob Storage. So
yeah, that's great that it's all managed for you. That's the mm-hmm. beauty of it, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a PaaS on top of the PaaS.
You got it.
So the one thing, though, that with reserved, if I understand correctly, too, in order to do custom DNS, you need to be on the reserved. Is that correct?
And or if you want to have your own domain name, so if you create a website and one of those websites in the free, you can't map your domain name to it under the free mode. Previously, you actually had to go from free to reserve to be able to map your domains. But as of about 2 weeks ago, that has been lifted, and now we have the free, share, and reserve plans. So you can manage your domain names in the shared plan as well as in the reserve plan. The only plan that you don't get custom DNS is in the free plan. So
okay, well that's great. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You didn't read my email?
What? I did. I must have forgotten. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. So all this is really cool. Now it's currently in preview. Mm-hmm. How are we at with Go Live and SLA?
How are we at with Go Live and SLA? I would have to check with the team on it. I believe that we do have a couple of sites that are launched. They're launched running on Windows Azure websites. I see the numbers from the status reports that come in, and it's very obvious that we have sites that customers have deployed that are indeed live. So we're seeing huge volume of traffic in some of those sites. I think they even itemize like how much traffic the highest however many sites get in their report. So we have seen people already go live on it. Again, it is in preview. In terms of the SLA, I don't know what the plan is for the SLA yet for Windows Azure websites. I would not imagine that it will be much different from the traditional Windows Azure SLA, that you're guaranteed, 99.999% uptime or something like that. So I think that the SLA will be across the board, but I could check on that and find out. I'll make a note.
So Brady, one question I got about the websites is in terms of how far can it scale? So if you can go from free to shared to then reserved, you know, I assume at some point you can scale as big as you want, or are there limitations? Where can you go with it?
Right now, the limitation with both, okay, is that if you want to scale your site out in shared, you can scale out to 3 instances. If you want to scale out your site in reserve mode, you can also scale out to 3 instances, and only to 3. 1, 2, or 3. If you were to go on a reserved instance, you'd have the ability to pick small, medium, or large. I can't imagine any of the sites that I'm running right now that I would need more than 3 instances that had 4 cores. But I know that there are sites out there like that, and I can imagine that some customers would want to scale beyond the 3 instances in reserve mode. I've actually just emailed the team to ask them if there's any plan beyond release to allow people to go higher than 3 instances for websites. And as soon as I know, I'll let you guys know. So
your website won't need any more than 3 instances. Didn't someone say that you wouldn't need more than 640K of RAM? Is there a limitation there on how much RAM you could use?
Yeah, I think I've heard that quote.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, I remember Bill addressed that in his keynote at WinHack 2005. I don't think we do WinHack anymore, but anyway, that was a funny quote. So that's about all the time we have for this one. Brady, thank you so much for sticking around and joining us. We appreciate all the information, and that's all I got. Peter, any closing remarks from you?
That's it. Just thanks again, Brady, for joining us today, and we hope to have you back on maybe future episodes and maybe some other folks on your team. And to all the listeners out there, thanks for tuning in this week. And again, thanks to Chris Caldwell on the back end for being our producer back there behind me in the white closet, hiding out and pushing the buttons and knobs. And we'll see you next time on MSDN Dev Radio.